my hair.
He has great hair. He's the golden man god.
Is that why he's orange?
Well, he, in the comics, is everybody, he, apparently, when you look at his skin, it's gold.
Oh, I see.
But he does, in this case, look more like Hulk Hogan than he does.
Yeah, he really does. Hulk Hogan with no mustache. Yeah. He's just almost, he's so tan, he's almost purple. I don't know what else. What other noises Adam Warlock make? All right, there you go. There's your toy.
Well, welcome to Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network and Comics on Comics, brought to you by Comics on Comics, where the greatest comic minds meet the greatest minds in comics. This is Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And, of course, every week we bring you selections from our comic book collection that are less than great. And we've come into contact.
We've come into some comics. However, I just want to say shout out to our special guest, the Adam Warlock action figure.
Oh yeah, yeah, he was. We were just talking about him at the start of the show.
Sean found an Adam Warlock action figure.
Well, for $2, the Toy Biz version of the Adam Warlock action figure with the supposed to be light up eyes and Infinity Gem. However, since this toy is, I'd say, almost 20 years old.
Yeah, he probably needs a new battery.
He needs a new battery.
Yes, indeed. So, special whoever, guest, but, Adam Warlock.
And he has sans cape, but he has a staff, which I find to be very impressive.
Well, we can make him a cape. I'll make him a cape, and we'll...
And life will be great.
And he'll be great. Anyway, so yeah, we have... we've acquired a couple of comics. Now, a couple, I think, is an understatement. Many comics over this last week.
Right, yeah, it's,
this is, so the worst
collection,
brand new.
Well, the funny thing is like, it's worst collection ever, and it's technically an addendum to my collection as a child.
Sort of. Yeah. So some of those are comics you had as a child that we have, recently reacquired.
Right. So. And, we are gonna do two of them today, which I am...
The old collection press.
But I'm kind of excited about these because this one looks. So we've got Fantastic Force number one, and we've got a Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen
from 1965.
1965 number 85.
So, you know.
So which one do you want to do first?
Whichever one you want. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Let's do the Fantastic Force first.
All right. Well, this is very. It's very shiny. Let's start out by saying this cover. It's shiny.
It's 90s as fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, and I will say this much. I bought this.
Because it was shiny?
Because it came out in 1994.
And you were a raccoon and you like shiny things?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I came out, and I remember going to a comic book store here in Buffalo, because we're in Buffalo.
Yes, right coming now. To you from exciting Buffalo, New York, this week.
And we were able to get a handle. I remember going to... this bookstore called Flight into Fantasy, which was in South Buffalo. And I would often go there because it was right down the street from a place I used to bowl for when I was a teenager on Saturdays. And me and our friend Benny would go to the comic book store. We used to hang out there and just, you know, buy random stuff. And I don't know where I had the money to buy this stuff because, you know.
Well, maybe allowance. Maybe you, like, mow the lawn or something.
I guess I had some sort of allowance because I didn't have a steady job. But I was excited to be able to purchase, you know, comics here and there. And this came out. I didn't read Fantastic Four leading up to this. But this book is a direct...
Successor to
Fantastic Four, which is still going on at the time. But, you know... what they needed was a Fantastic Four book
without the Fantastic Four,
but, you know, more hip kids 90s.
Yes. Directed towards the youngs. So that's why we have a very, like, this whole thing is shiny, and it's called Fantastic Force.
So Fantastic Force, if you don't know, is headed by... Psylord, or a.k.a. Franklin Richards, the son of Mr. Fantastic and Sue Richards, the Invisible Girl.
Yeah.
Also features Devlor, who's an Inhuman that turns into an ape-man. There's Huntara, who is who may or may not be Franklin Richards' sister from an alternate universe.
Yes.
And then there's also Vibraxis, who is
basically the vibe of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, that's
what he is. That's his power.
Well, no, the vibe of the Marvel Universe would be Richter, the mutant from X-Factor and or X-Force and New Mutants. But
this guy does the same shit.
He sort of does the same shit.
Not sort of.
He's from Wakanda, so he's
yes. You know,
he's,
and well, Black Panther's in this too.
Black Panther's in it too. Mm-hmm. Black Panther's kind of like their Professor X in this sort of thing.
Yeah. But, So yeah. So we start this book. And this is, what year is this from?
It's from November 1994.
All right, November 1994, number one. And we start this book, and the Fantastic Four are no more.
I guess so.
They're.
I feel like this is the millionth time they've quit.
They've quit, they've given up, they've said fuck it. So now it falls down to these guys. Something happened
where,
I don't know, you see the Thing, like, sadly walking away.
Something happened at where some point. I think Reed's supposed to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
So Fantastic Four, they gave up, and so Franklin Richards came back from an alternate universe because basically he's a mutant with psionic powers, and he's like as superior as like Professor Rax or Jean Grey.
So I have a question: is he his son? In this universe, or is he his son in an alternate universe?
I think he's the current son, but he is aged.
Prematurely aged because he was in a different universe.
Because he was in a different universe, and he needed to be able to control his powers.
So they sent him over there?
They said, so his grandfather, the time-traveling Nathaniel Richards, took him into an alternate universe where he may also be sisters with Antara here. And,
So then he could come back.
Yeah.
When he was old.
I mean, when he's older and he's able to, you know, handle his cosmic juice.
All right, we're powers. On the same page now.
Yeah.
All right.
So, he's like, oh, you know, my family's
he
gone.
He looks very angry at this panel. Grimacing. I have to say, he's grimacing and, like, it looks like waves of rage are coming out of his ears.
Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah, he's wincing so hard.
Mad.
He's wincing so hard with rage.
Clenching his teeth. You know he's talking through him. He's just like, oh, I'm so angry.
And he's like, he's upset about his family dying, and Huntara's like, fuck your family.
Yeah, Huntara doesn't give a shit.
She doesn't give a shit. She hits it with her axe, a table with her axe full of, like...
She's like, I'm wearing a fabulous headpiece that, like, drag queens would kill to get their hands on.
That's a pretty good headpiece.
It's a great headpiece. It really is. It's a very, very good headpiece. And she's got, like, this big flaming axe thingy.
I forgot what her powers are.
Looks like
axe
a battle axe. I don't know.
It's a battle axe, but it's got some sort of like.
It has some sort of power.
Juice power to it.
So.
It's the 90s, who cares?
And of course, like, he's angry, and she's like, I don't care, and tries to, like, slice him with the axe. And Black Panther has to be like, guys, no.
Guys, let's chill. You know, you're going to stay here with us, whatever.
And so then we're introduced to some other people.
Well, he's like
wherever
you know,
they are. They're in wherever Black Panther is staying. He's in some hotel.
They're in New York. They're in the
right.
Embassy.
They're in the embassy.
The Wakanda embassy.
So this is where Black Panther is, and they're hanging out with him. And then we run into Vibraxis.
Oh, sorry, Vibraxis is he's having a party, doing like an exhibition, fighting his robots and stuff.
He's basically doing a training exercise.
Yeah, fighting some robots, and he gets. Blindsided, and Huntara comes in and steps in because she's kind of dumb. To you know, she thinks she just wants to. She's just angry.
Well, because it looks like he's going to get taken out by one of the robots, So she steps in to try to help him, and he's like, "I wasn't going to get hurt. They're programmed not to hurt me. You've made me look bad in front of my king. Screw you, lady." And then this other guy comes in,
Devlor,
but he's a regular human.
Devlor is what we know, he's an inhuman.
Well, no, but he looks like a regular human, and then he turns into a monkey.
Yeah, he can turn into Ape Man.
Big Ape. So he comes running in, and he's like, I heard a crash, and Vibraxis is like, oh, you're an idiot. And he's like, man, I'm going to fight you for that. So he turns into a big old monkey.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then there's a lot of yelling and
a lot of anger punching here.
Punching. I mean, this is the way you introduce people to each other all the time in a comic
book. This is in the first book of the comic.
This is every comic book. It's like you can't have a team unless the minute that they see each other on panel, they try to punch each other in the face.
This is pretty much the New 52.
Yeah.
In the first three pages.
Yeah. This is it. This is Marvel's version of the New 52.
So we're out on the street, and Claw is hiding out.
Wearing the Questions outfit.
Yeah, he's wearing a
He's got a, like, you know, a little fedora.
Which I think is hilarious.
He's wearing Don Draper's cast-offs.
I like that instead of trying to dress up in any other way, they always have to wear the trench coat.
And a hat.
Maybe it's just the easiest to draw. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
But he goes ahead and he destroys a newsstand because somebody has to pay for some newspaper, and he's like, fuck that. Nothing happens because of that, which I'm surprised.
Well, he saw that Black Panther is in town.
Yeah, he's upset.
And he's like, "Arr!" And so he, again, clenching teeth, anger, rage. So then we cut back to their little hideaway thing, and they're just hanging out. Well, is he from the future to the...
he's from Inhumans. He's from the moon.
Wait. Okay, I don't know anything about Inhumans.
The Inhumans live in the moon.
Sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, inside of it? Or, like,
somewhere
on the dark side of it?
Yeah, somewhere on the moon. They moved the Transformers on the dark side of the moon. And, you know, but he escaped, I guess, because he didn't want to be a part of that. So he wants to live, you know, he wants to be an adventurer. And I remember this distinctly because when I bought this book, I remember him distinctly buying or ordering meat discs and sweet Nutri-Brown liquid.
Yes.
Which always amused me.
Yeah, he wanted some meat discs. He's on the phone with room service.
Which apparently there's room service
and he wants
in the Wakanda Embassy.
Meat discs. Which meat. I'm assuming are hamburgers.
I assume he's ordering hamburgers
and
cola.
Like, you know, Pepsi or whatever.
He's ordering some Pepsi, but he's just like, I'll order some meat discs and like, whatever, hairy boy.
Yeah.
So we get more flashbacks about them, you know, about the reasons why
they're here.
They're here, yeah.
We've got this ridiculous shot here, too, of Huntara trying to kick somebody. And it's just like...
Holy shit, look at how long her leg is.
Right, that's exactly why I said it's ridiculous.
Her leg is longer than, I think, any...
It's almost the entire panel. It's just this huge...
It's infinitely larger than...
bigger than her torso, that's
for yeah.
sure. And it's ridiculous. It
it's
looks
comically
like,
big.
Like, if she would probably be about 8.5 feet tall. In real life, if that's how long her legs were.
And it's, like, also weird, because she's, like, just her outfit looks like she's not wearing, like, any underwear.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's one of those, like, at the waist, and then goes down, so you can see the sides of her hips, so I don't know how she keeps her vagina from being on display.
I mean,
she does high vagina kicks.
Yeah, clearly she has no shame.
Well, here, this, I also had a question, because as they're doing this thing, what's his name again?
Franklin.
Okay, Franklin goes, he gets a flash of his, some sort of sense. What is it called? I can't see it from here.
He has he calls it the Hound Scars?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Apparently there's something to do with, like, because he has his armor, because he went to the future to basically contain his, you know, learn how to contain his...
Right, his power.
Powers, and they gave him some sort of armor to do that. And I think that that's something to do with this.
But, like, are they actual, like, is that what this is on his face? Are these actual scars? Or
I think
like,
some sort of scars, that's what he's pointing out.
So, do they tingle when he feels danger? Is that what happens?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
Maybe.
I have tingly scars that detect danger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tingly scars.
So, Claw, brace in.
Claw shows up, and he's made a pure sound, and he's just weighing lace to everybody.
Yeah. He's just kicking ass.
As he should, because he's fucking Claw, and he's awesome.
Yeah. So he's kicking ass.
You know, he's slapping around the Vibraxis kid.
And then Franklin gets his armor from Gesundheit.
Ooh.
Oh, my. Franklin gets he calls his armor from subspace, which that's not really a great place to store armor.
No, that's the thing, though. There's, it's a thing in the Marvel Universe that in Fantastic Four, like, they're able to do that. It's kind of
like
how,
a pocket?
Yeah, like, it's kind of like, for some reason,
it's like a garage.
It's kind of like how the Creeper is able to maintain his costume.
Oh, okay. I get it. Because I was just thinking, like, you know, that's kind of far, but apparently it's just like
no,
a pocket.
No, it's something that's just right away, so. So it comes,
it's
it
a
comes
hidden
on.
Pocket.
And of course, it's got big spiky elbows.
Oh, of course
and arms.
It does. Yeah, it's very Iron Man-esque.
He's got one of those cowls on his face.
That shows his hair. My favorite kind of cowl.
Yeah, the best cowls.
The best cowls that don't go up over the head. So he's, you know, punching, and apparently Huntara and Claw used to work together.
Yeah, there was an issue before this where they worked together, and she, because she was, you know, somehow, you know, she's so angry and confused, like she'll just join anybody for a fight.
Yeah.
And she was with them for a minute, and cause that's why she's kind of a dick most of the time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But, you know, so they're fighting,
fighting this guy, not doing very
fighting
well.
Fighting Claw. And, you know, and then Devlor decides to join the fight, and he kind of fucks it up.
Punches out a window, really.
He basically looks like he destroys the entire floor of this building.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. This humongous tower looks like it takes out the whole floor.
So a lot of people are dead.
Yeah, everyone's dead, which, whatever, it's collateral damage, it's fine. So, Franklin goes after him, and he's like, you know, I think we can beat this guy, and then he, like, talks to them telepathically to be like, we have to work together, you guys.
Because we're fantastic force, and this book is shiny.
Even though we hate each other, we have to work together to overcome the evil. Which, you know, that's usually how these things work. So, there's fighting, and...
Actually, I love this. I didn't know that Claw can do this.
Oh, what? Like, create animals?
Yeah, well, you can create things out of solid sound, but I wonder if it's because, if it's in a way that Green Lantern creates things.
Oh, like constructs?
Constructs out of solid sound, mm-hmm. But here he creates, like, a wildebeest to charge at them.
Well, it's a water buffalo.
A water buffalo, okay. Mm-hmm. Water buffalo, and it's like...
Why not?
But, I mean, yeah. It doesn't look like it's... energy. It looks like an actual buffalo.
Well,
that
they grab it,
and they rip it off. Yeah, and Huntara chops it in half, and it's full of sound goodness.
Yeah,
sound juice.
Gross.
So anyway, so yeah, he's so they team up. You know, Vibraxis steps in and disrupts Claw enough to distract him. And kind of blow him apart, and then when he recombines himself, Black Panther shows up with some vibranium gauntlets, which the gauntlets are able to nullify
the sound,
the claw's sound. You know, actions and stuff. So.
Right. So he punches him in the face, and apparently that's enough to make him not do anything until the cops show up, which.
He knocked him the fuck
and he
out.
Doesn't even, yeah, I know, but like then he's just standing there like, oh, whatever. Like, couldn't he like vibrate away? I don't know.
Well, maybe he's got vibranium gauntlets and
stuff,
assuming.
And so then like everybody yells at each other and they're like, no, wait. Let's not yell. Let's be a team.
Because
we're good together, you guys. And we can overcome our differences, save the world. And so they become...
Well, I like this part here because they're all, like, putting their hands on each other. And it's like, the B-sharps.
Well, I like that they do the little picture there at the bottom of Fantastic Four, just in case you didn't get it.
Guys, just making sure. This is like, just like the Fantastic Four, guys.
Yeah.
It's fucking
cool.
Bunch
of guys with powers. They're like a family. They're going to fight each
other. Why would he call it the Fantastic Force?
I don't know.
Why don't you just call it...
Punch Force.
Why do you just call it Force? I mean, I know it's Fantastic. I know why it's called Fantastic Force, but it's such a lame.
Well, especially because like only one of them has a tie to the Fantastic Four. That's the kid.
Yeah.
The rest of them are just there.
Shiny. But that's Fantastic.
You can't call it like the Pride or something because Black Panther is in charge.
Yeah, that's true.
Whatever.
Well, that's it. The Fantastic Force, number one.
Whatever happened to that book?
It only lasted for, I think, maybe 18 issues?
That sounds right.
Not even that, maybe. I think it was less than that, and it went away.
Yeah. Were all the covers that shiny?
No. But this one was special because you had to pay $2.50 back in the day. It's funny because going through my brother's going through the books that my brother has, you know, this is, you know, collecting back in the 90s, you see a lot of these books, and you're like, holy shit, I used to buy these. Like Generation X number one is just like this.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's, you know, Maximum Clonage or Maximum this, and it's just fucking shiny as fuck. I love this tagline, go-getters who never say die.
Dumb.
This is the lamest shit.
It's really terrible. And but big shout out to your brother for keeping it in such great condition.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, it's totally worth...
and letting us take it back.
It's totally not worth 50 cents on a 50 cent.
But it is. It's a very nice condition.
And the cover of this, too, it's like, okay,
You have, like, the whole team, except for Vibraxis, who looks like he just got his ass kicked.
Right. You'd well, no, if you flip it over.
I know, well, because, you know, because it shows right. Them fighting claws.
Right.
It's a wraparound. But why would you do that on your first book and be like, yeah, this guy sucks.
Yeah. Have him being the only one laying down and everybody else is getting ready to fight. It doesn't make sense.
And Franklin Richards is built like a trash can. I don't know if I
can. He really is built like a trash can. Like, look how thick his waist is in that.
I know. He's very, like, he's not, he's like thick, like, it just looks like he's built like, you know.
Well, yeah.
Like you said, he's very short. Like, he's yeah, short he's in the book.
He's squat looking and.
He's squat and it's just is very kind of, like, distracting.
Yeah, and his head's really tiny compared to how thick his waist is. So you'd think that there must be at least, like, 2 feet of metal on each side of his actual body.
Right.
Yeah, it's a weird drawing. And then what's-her-face is tiny as shit.
Huntara?
Except for her enormous leg.
Her legs are gigantic. Jesus Christ.
It's ridiculous.
Anyways, that's Fantastic Force number one.
Yep.
From November 1984. Shine on. All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever. Here on Sideshow Network, and brought to you by Comics on Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, man.
From June 1965, number 85.
This is an old one.
And this book actually, this is a weird book.
It's got 3 stories in it.
Well, it's a 3-story book, but just a series, like this book entirely.
God, so weird.
It's been around, like, it went on for, like, a long time. You know, I mean, and I guess apparently people really white like this, Jimmy Olsen.
It was a simpler time.
His book is also, I always find it fascinating that his book is the first appearance, holds the first appearance of Darkseid.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It holds the appearance of Darkseid, and he looks like a regular white guy.
It's just called Darkseid?
Well, no, he looks like, I mean, you can see the picture, it's like he's, because he's on... It's like there's some sort of like TV thing, like TV transmission or whatever, and he's only in it for like a panel, but like the way he's colored, he's colored like a regular white dude, which is kind of funny, but he's kind of got the lines that he has on his face.
Uh-huh.
It's funny, but. All right, so this friggin' thing.
This is a thing.
This is a thing with.
Well, first off, before we get started with that. Did you happen to read what's on the cover? Okay, so there's the cover open.
Oh, on the inside cover.
Did you happen to read this?
I read through. I didn't read the whole thing. I just kind of got to the gist of it.
It's just like this weird, like, public service announcement for kids to, like, do hobbies. It's like, do you want to make a belt? Like, it's Superboy.
Do you want to make a belt?
Yeah, like at the bottom, it's like, you could make a belt. Like, on the very last panel. It's like Superboy inviting these people to use his workshop, and this kid doesn't want to go, and Superboy's like, he's like, I'm not creative, I can't go, and Superboy's like, it's okay, there's all sorts of things you can do, like make a model plane, or make a model car, or make a belt, or like, this is weird, like, you want to have a good hobby, like, PSA.
Well, you know, I prefer if it's just about belts.
I would too, but alas. And apparently that kid, like, makes some sort of, like, baseball man out of clay.
Looks like you made it out of mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
I made it out of mashed potatoes. Well, that's not anything what I suggested, but, you know, it's not a belt. But, you know, good for you.
And then when they made Frank. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they studied this issue.
Yeah, they decided this was the inspiration. Spielberg saw this and he was like, mashed potato belt. How can I...
Or mashed potato mountain? And then he made a movie.
And now he's a famous director.
That's how that happens.
Thanks, Superboy.
Thanks, Superboy.
Thanks, Frank, and your non-belt skills.
Make a belt, you guys.
Make belts. So anyway, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. This one's about... So are there 3 stories in here?
There are 3 stories in here, yeah.
What story? I finally remember... Wait, so...
Did you read the first one?
I read this one. Here's the one with the ear.
That's the one where he changes his face.
Oh, and then there's the one with the hand. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so let's kind of go through these, because, you know, we'll be here forever talking about this, because it's so fucking ridiculous.
It's really funny.
So apparently there's some sort of... I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
So what happens in this first one? So Jimmy Olsen is at work at the Daily Planet covering some sort of weird thing happening at a satellite dish. And... Somehow, like, a bunch of radio waves
that's where the ship
congeal
from.
And create the ship.
creates a ship, you know, because
in science. Which, and what happens, oh man, a killer dame gets out of it, but she also has a, what they're calling her dog, and I don't know.
Well, they assume it's a pet.
Yeah, they assume it's her pet because she's holding a leash.
The pet looks like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it really, really does. It's really gross, and it's got, like, fly eyes and, like, antenna. It's got fly eyes. It's got like, shoulder-length red hair, but, like, a bald spot up top, so it's, like, that guy that you always see, like, the county fair, who just will not cut his hair, even though he's bald.
And he's got arms that come out of his chest.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird, because he's wearing, like, this vest. Green and orange vest, and he's got fur, and...
Yeah. I thought he was looked like he was wearing, like, a prison jumpsuit, but he has, like, beetle wings on the back.
Right.
Yeah. So, and everybody's like, look at that killer dame and her ugly dog. And so she, this thing, what's it called? Gnor. Sees Jimmy. Gnor. Sees Jimmy in the crowd, and he automatically grabs Jimmy because apparently all living things on their planet have red hair. So Jimmy has red hair.
Jimmy being King Ginger of Metropolis.
Yes, and they're like, you're our friend. Show us around, please. And they're like, good call.
And I like that on the news that, like, they report this.
Oh, for, like, romance?
And they're like, haha, romance? Snort.
Like, yeah, they're like, because is he going to fight with this killer dame?
Because he's going to take around this chick and her ugly dog.
Dog thing.
And then he,
So he picks her up.
He picks her up, and he's like, what are you going to do? I guess we'll go on a picnic. And, you know, and so he takes him in a boat.
And they find kryptonite floating in the water. Now, I was not aware kryptonite could float. But apparently kryptonite can float. So they find a piece of kryptonite floating in the water.
Yeah, really
it's good. Just hanging out. And he's like, oh, wow, isn't that lucky? I'm so glad I found this kryptonite. And before he can finish the sentence, Nor, like, makes all sorts of colors of kryptonite appear to the point where they're literally sitting on top of a kryptonite mountain.
Where was he in... that Batman Superman book where right? Batman needs to find all the kryptonite.
The search for the kryptonite.
And to search it and fucking hide it and all that stuff.
Well, because they're going to all throw it into space except Batman kept all of it, like at least one piece of each kind.
Yeah.
In the Batcave because he's kind of a dick.
Yeah, always a huge dick. Where was this? Where's Nor?
I don't know. Apparently Nor would have been helpful because he just got all the kryptonite.
Not all of it.
Like, all of it. All like literally, it's a huge mountain inside of this lake now.
It's a big mountain of fruity pebbles.
It does. And he's like, no, I wanted to hide it before it could hurt Superman. So Nor, like, puts it in a crack in the ground.
Just throws it back to the ground. Which, for some reason, that never comes up again.
No.
You know, if he's looking for... If Lex Luthor has never come across this giant cachet...
Of all the kryptonite.
Of every kryptonite ever.
Every kryptonite color ever.
Apparently, thank God for Crisis. Because...
It scattered it.
He would be fucked.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go to the fun house.
Yeah, and the girl's so happy because she can look at many mirrors of her, which is just so fucking stupid. They didn't think
but
highly.
She's an alien, so, you know,
sure.
She's excited for everything.
Didn't really think highly of the ladies back in the day. So they're going to get a hot dog, and Jimmy says, oh man, I could eat a horse or something.
He's like, I can eat a hot dog as big as a horse, because he's like, you know, he's ready to deep throat this hot dog.
Yeah.
And Nor was like, oh, well, I'll make a hot dog as big as a horse.
And it has legs and everything.
Well, no, he makes this giant hot dog.
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, oh, man, because, you know, Nor's being very nice to me again. So, you know, we need to get this hot giant hot dog out of here. Which I'm like, that's not that big of a deal. It's just a giant hot dog. Just fucking eat it.
It's bigger than he is, though.
Yeah, but so what? Just eat it. Just put it on the dirt and eat it.
But I don't know if...
Have other people eat it.
But yeah, now it's on the ground.
We'll just cut the part off that ain't touching the ground.
Gross.
Or have somebody help
you
pick it up.
Would you eat a floor hot dog?
As long as it's been, you know, as long as it's whatever. So this part's only touching the ground.
Okay, so would you be like, wow, giant hot dog.
I
just manufactured.
As he's holding this right now, I would run up to it and take a big bite.
And just run away and be like, ha-ha! Run.
I was like, oh no, that man with the giant, with the Amish beard just ate my hot dog, my giant hot dog I've been holding.
Oh, man, it's weird.
But for some reason, he goes, he's like, well, get this horse-sized hot dog out of here, gallop out of here. So, of course, it develops horse legs, and Jimmy rides the hot dog.
Yeah, he sure does.
Literally rides it.
Yep. It's some good riding. I mean...
He rides it where? I don't know.
This sort of riding of a sausage-shaped object is rarely seen outside of, like, X-Tube. But well, here's but he does a really good job.
But here's a question. So he rides it somewhere, but what happens to it?
I'm assuming, because it says he fixes it, he reverses it. So you never get to see what happens. I'm assuming he just makes it small again.
Oh, he undoes it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was wondering if it just, like, it's this...
Stop riding my hot dog.
This sentient hot dog horse creature is existing in having a painful existence in this earth. And, like, because Jimmy just had to get off of it somehow. And it's just
it's like that Simpsons where it's like, why? Why was I programmed to feel pain?
Exactly. There's like this poor hot dog monster.
Sorry, that's funny. Okay, so... So
this lady...
So this lady gets tired.
She gets tired a lot, you know, which mm-hmm. we find out why later. But so she... So as she's, you know, so Jimmy's like, it's funny because Jimmy's like, oh, he's like, oh, Shara, you're beautiful.
You're a real doll.
You're a real doll.
And she starts crying.
And she starts crying. And she goes on the ship with Nor. Yeah. And Lucy Lane shows up and, you know, the next day.
Because he's supposed to pick her up. Oh, no, he went and he took Nor for a walk. And he comes back to her place to, like, give her Nor back, and the ship leaves. And he's like, oh, Shara, I'm so sad.
Well, no, because Lucy goes on the ship to tell Shara off.
Yeah, oh yeah, because Lucy loves Jimmy for some fucking reason. He's a total putz.
He is a
putz. Why she's into this guy is beyond me, but whatever. So, and then it takes off, and he's sad.
Flies away, and then so he has Nor and Lucy, and so... Why are they going to see...
They go to Star Labs or something?
They go to the professor...
Because they want to go... Oh, she takes him. She's like, oh... Because he's feeling listless. He's like, oh, I'm feeling really tired. And she's like, oh, I know it'll make you feel better. Let's go see Professor whatever
his name is. Let's go see inventions.
Let's go see some shit he's been working on. So they go, and he's like, hey, look at my cool aging ray, which I don't know why you'd ever create an aging ray, but whatever. He's like, look at my cool aging ray, and he, like, accidentally turns it the wrong way and makes them, Lucy and Jimmy, get old.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, Nor's leash jumps out of Jimmy's hand and goes into the professor's hand.
But.
But. And there's always a but.
But. It's Superman in disguise as a professor. Superman, the...
Master of disguise.
Master of disguise. He's disguise. Like Batman.
He really is.
He's wearing a prosthetic old man top of head.
Yes. And then they're just like, ha-ha, this is what happened. Nor is really a parasite, which Shara told Lucy and before she died, because Nor sucked out all of her energy. And so then when Jimmy got old, he thought he needed a new host, which is why the leash went to
Because she was
this guy.
She was an android getting, you know, surprised life juice, because he needed life juice for his host. You know, Nora is the king or whatever.
But apparently she really fell in love with Jimmy, which I don't know why. Like, maybe she was really impressed with how he rode that hot dog.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I mean,
she was like, shit, he could take it. Well, also, too, this guy's awesome. We're going to get into pegging.
I'm going to peg you with this
Frankfurter. Can't wait to peg you with the Frankfurter.
Oh, boy.
I think that's what happened.
How come that didn't come up at all?
I know. What? These old comics so rarely mention
it. It'd be great if I don't know her. It's like, she's like, I'm sorry I died before I got to peg Jimmy with a frozen hot dog. Superman's like, hey, we can save her.
Superman's like, well, I didn't know you were into that, Jimmy. No wonder you're my best friend. So anyway, and Jimmy's like, but Superman, now you're the one holding the leash. Isn't that terrible? And Superman's like, oh, don't worry about it. Nor can't handle my energy, and Nor explodes. And Superman's okay with it. He just killed this thing.
Oh, Superman doesn't give it. Yeah, Superman.
He didn't put it in his little zoo that he has up at the fortress. Or whatever he does with all those other animals that he catches from other worlds. He just fucking killed this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, that'll teach them.
Fuck those aliens.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, Superman's totally a dick here.
He just killed this poor... I mean, I realize that it's a parasite, but it's not his fault he's a parasite. It's just the way he is. And, like, instead of being like, well, I'm going to take him up and maybe try to figure out a way he can live his existence, Superman flat out kills him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. God loves Superman, who just I just love sometimes in these books.
They justify all the terrible things that happen.
These are three stories in the one. You know, and they're just like, hey, get out of the story. Superman just blows it up.
Yeah, it's cool. He can't take Superman's energy. He dies. Yeah, all right, it's cool. Okay. Let's end it on a dog joke. All right.
And on a dog joke, and, you know, there's a woman's like, hold my leash, Jimmy. And he's like, and he runs away,
screaming. That's the end of that.
All right. So here's the second issue. And I'll try to go through this because we're going to be ripping on this forever. But apparently, Jimmy has become an honorary member of the
Legion,
which, big fucking deal. Sean
loves Legion.
Yeah, good job, buddy. So, Chameleon Boy gives him, like, a juice of some sort.
It's Chameleon Boy juice.
Chameleon Boy juice to help him, you know, with his,
Well, because what Jimmy wants to do is write an article about what it's like to be a member of the Legion, but in Jimmy's time. So Chameleon Boy's like, here, have this vial of my juice. Not gonna tell you where I got it from, but have a vial of it, and when you drink it, that will give you powers just like me, and you can change into anything you want, but it will wear off. So Jimmy's like, great, awesome, I can't wait to drink your nasty juice out of this vial. Thanks, Chameleon Boy.
I'll totally drink one of this.
Whatever. Thank you for
giving me your
fucking bodily fluid in a vial. Thanks so much, buddy.
Yeah, he probably goes back because it's just toilet water. It's totally toilet water.
So apparently, as all that's going on, Superman is in space, because that's where Superman usually is. Superman's in space, and because of this, all the anti-Superman gang, is that what they're called?
Yes.
The anti-Superman gang has decided that they're going to kill Jimmy, because Superman can't save him now, which, again, Jimmy's a putz. I don't know why you bother. So that's what's happening right now.
And everybody is like right up to the
like everybody. Everybody in this comic, save the Legion. Legion is an assassin for hire wanting to kill Jimmy
Olsen. Which is actually really funny.
So the whole city of Metropolis is nothing but dudes who want to kill Jimmy.
Actually, I think this is funny. So he's about like, he has the tonic in his hand. The guy's like, I'm going to kill you. And Jimmy's like, maybe if I drink this, and he's like, hey, I'm going to faint. Can I drink this nerve tonic? And it's like...
And the guy's like, sure.
He's like, well, it's an extra 10,000 if he's alive.
Oh, well. So, that's some nice... Even if he fainted, wouldn't that just make this guy's job easier?
Yeah. He'd be like, dude.
He'd be like, all right, sweetie's out. Pick him up.
Pass out.
Tie him up. We're good. No, but he lets him drink this nerve tonic, so Jimmy is not going to pass out. So now you have to deal with him conscious.
But what happens is he spills too much of it. And he drinks whatever's left, and it makes him only have Superman power, or
Chameleon powers. In his face.
In his head.
Yeah, that's it. So his body stays the same, but his head transforms into whatever he wants. So he wants to become a kangaroo, and he just has a kangaroo face, and then he is like, well, that's not going to work. So he looks at his statue of the Justice League, where Aquaman is holding...
A swordfish, and he's got also...
And an octopus.
His octopus has got a name. It's a...
Oh, that's right. He does have a name.
Blanket on his name.
I know.
Obo?
Something like that.
Obobo?
Yeah. That was a trivia question I got wrong.
It was. I couldn't... None of us could think about it.
No, and I should know it, but I don't. Anyway, so it's them, and he's like, oh, I'm going to make my face look like that swordfish. So he does.
He does, and he uses his pointy nose to knock the gun out the window, and he runs. And so it's funny, because he just keeps running into people, and everybody's like, he's like, oh my god, a police officer. He's like, I'm not a police officer.
Topo!
Okay.
There it is. All right, sorry. Yeah, so everybody, he like runs up to a police officer, he's like, hey, police officer, please help me, people are trying to kill me. He's like, I just rented this uniform, I'm not a cop either.
Yeah, I like that everybody is just, you know.
Everyone's out to kill him.
And he just he decides that he wants to change his head, to a stone.
Oh yeah.
Because the police officer is about to hit him with his nightstick. He's like, "Hey, I'm gonna get my money, and knock you out." And he turns his head into stone. Stick breaks, and Jimmy proceeds to headbutt him into unconsciousness.
Which really, that should have broken that guy's jaw into like 18 pieces.
No, he's hitting him in the chest. He's breaking his give him a heart attack.
Yeah, that guy should probably be dead right now. And it's very possible that he is.
You basically gave him like a dropped a cinder block on his chest.
Pretty much. And that guy should probably be dead, and he might be. So then he hails a taxi. Of course, it's another guy trying to kill him. And this guy has the most convoluted plot to kill Jimmy, which is to put him in a taxi and put two Black Widow spiders on him that will hopefully bite him. But you don't die instantly from Black Widow bite. So I don't know what this guy was thinking. But he puts him in a taxi and he's like, ha ha ha, Black Widow spiders. And Jimmy's like, I'll become an anteater and I will eat these spiders. And the guy, justifiably, gets really fucking creeped out by that. And like,
because basically it's not Jimmy's head as a whole anteater, it's just his jaw.
Yeah, just an anteater's
tongue. And he's like, yum!
Yum, ooh, you got more? These are delicious.
You fucking maniac.
The guy like gets freaked out and he's like, you know what? Money's not worth it. And he runs. Fair enough. So he gets out of the cab and then his ear gets gigantic and he hears like some guys keeping tabs on him. And then fog rolls in, which is very convenient, and he runs into the museum?
Where the fuck does fog come from?
I don't know, but it's, like, only around him.
A fog's rolling in, I'll duck out. Yeah, because what the hell's going on?
I don't know.
That's not good for Metropolis.
Right? So he runs in, and there's these two guys, two assassins, getting dressed in, like, knight's armor.
Because that's what they're going to do, is they're going to get to jump on him as a knight, as a bunch of knights.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy turns his face into...
His teeth into, like, walrus tusks. Or Mastodon tusks. So he's just, like, got those coming out of his mouth. You know, mind you, he's still wearing his tweed suit and bow tie this entire time.
So all this shit's going on while he's still dressed up.
And he, like, throws the knights on top of a fossil thing.
Actually, this one's my favorite next one. So he runs outside.
In the fog.
And he sees somebody dressed like a kid on a motorcycle.
Dressed like him.
He's like, oh, must be a fan club member.
Which, why wouldn't you have a Jimmy Olsen fan club where people fucking cosplay as you?
So,
just like on a daily basis.
That in itself, but it's...
fucking daily basis.
And he's like, hey, I'm Jimmy Olsen, can I get a lift? And the kid's like, he's like, I'm not a kid. I'm a midget who masqueraded as a fan, and I'm going to
kill you. Yeah. and then Jimmy changes his face into a skeleton head, like Skeletor, and the guy goes, oh my god, now I'm terrified. It must have come from the cemetery, and he drives away. And that's how Jimmy vanquishes this dude who's literally holding a gun on him.
He vanquishes a midget on a motorcycle that must have...
Little person
that's like, I'm wearing a fucking suit.
I'm dressed up like you, so you'll think I'm a fan club member and hopefully stop me as you're walking through the streets of Metropolis.
Is this ever going to end?
Again, very convoluted way of getting this taken care of. So anyway, Jimmy finally gets to the airport, and just as he's about to get on a plane, he gets sucker punched by some dude.
He's sucker punched and basically, you know...
They haul him in to see the anti-Superman club.
Anti-Superman gang.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gang.
And they're all like, aha, and, you know, nobody's going to save you now except for Superman. And he's
Superman's
like...
Superman's not here. Who's going to save you now, fucker? And so Jimmy touches his face and makes his face look like Superman's face.
And everybody gets freaked out.
But, you know, that guy's holding a gun. And he's pointing it at Superman. And I realize that bullets bounce off Superman, but wouldn't you just shoot him anyway?
Yeah, if they just tried to shoot him,
he'd be dead. And Jimmy would have died. That's the thing. I would have just been like, oh my god. $10,000
richer.
Right? I don't know. But sure, nobody... They just all run away because he has Superman's face. He doesn't have Superman's body, Superman's height, anything else. He just has his face, and these idiots believe that's enough. Even though I'm sure that they've gotten reports from their fellow bad guys that this guy, that Jimmy's face has been doing all this weird shit all day, they just believe it's Superman, and they run away.
Yeah.
And so then Superman, of course, shows up, and after all the guys are gone, and Jimmy's like, I can't wait for me and my pal Superman to laugh about this for a long, long time.
Oh, he's not going to give a shit. He's like, you use my face to what?
Superman probably would think it's funny because he killed that other guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like, you know, I helped kill that alien.
Yeah, that was great, Superman.
Yeah.
Let's laugh about how we made fools of these obviously mentally incapacitated humans. So last story in this book.
Last story.
It is the one that the cover is based on.
King Olsen's Private Island.
That's right.
So basically,
it's a strip club. Spoiler alert, it's just a strip club. It's called King Olsen's Private Island.
I would have loved that would have happened.
Why is there not a strip club named King Olsen's Private Island?
Anyways, so he goes... So apparently the Jimmy has a task to interview a guy that shows a captain I'm assuming this is Hugh Hefner, shows up in Metropolis, and he's the only man in the world who owns a country.
Yep, sure. Only guy.
And no reporters have ever mentioned him. Now, mind you, this guy has only... You know, now, mind you, this is news.
Oh, yeah.
This plays into something later that it doesn't quite make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense at all, because he's the only guy who owns a country, and it's because he has, like, this random island. But, like, Johnny Depp owns a fucking island.
Well, but he wasn't alive yet.
Yeah, but it's possible to own an island and still not be a king.
Right.
Right? Okay, so even back then, I'm assuming this was a thing. So
Jimmy basically sees this guy, and this guy, he's like, hey, you know...
Well, didn't he not want to give anybody an interview?
No, he wouldn't give anybody interviews, and he's still holding to that, but Jimmy saves this guy from getting hit by a car.
A truck
or whatever, and Jimmy's like... And he's like, well, I'll tell you the story about my island. Basically, he just shows up at this island, and...
He says, that's his own. Hey, sweet, it's an island. It's mine. I live here now.
No Asian owns this land. I was like, how do you know?
Well, exactly. There might actually be people on there, which 90% of the time when people thought that it was uninhabited, there were natives.
How do you know?
And this guy's like, fuck it, I'll just take it.
So Jimmy gets a dope scoop.
Colonialism, it's a thing.
Yeah. He gets a scoop, and then...
He's like, oh, I love that this guy didn't want to tell anybody how he got this island. He tells it to Jimmy, and it takes 2 panels. And that's it. Like, that's the story that he didn't want to tell anybody.
Yeah, I just found this island, and I was like, it's fine.
I took my ship, I got on an island, and I said, mine. And that's how he became king of an island. That's it. That's the only...
He didn't have to fight any bloody battles.
I'm really glad that Jimmy's going to be able to fill fucking 6 inches of space in a newspaper with that story. So, anyway, that's the story.
This is why print is dead.
Yeah, pretty much. So Jimmy goes back to Metropolis. And he hears, is this where he hears that the guy died? Like there was a shipwreck?
He hears that he fell into the, you know,
the guy who owned the island.
Yeah.
Died.
No, he fell, yeah, he's shipwrecked. And, he's like, well.
The sea has claimed another.
I like how they call this the
No, no, no. It's not that. He died in a shipwreck.
Yeah.
And what happened is because Jimmy saved his life, like a week ago, this guy has left him the island.
No, it's the next day. Oh, no, a few weeks later.
Yeah, it's okay. Like a couple weeks later. And apparently, this old man knows no one else, has never met another person, has no siblings, nothing. No buddies from school, nothing. He decides to leave it to this random reporter who just happened to push him out of the way of the truck.
Right.
So, apparently that's the way you get inheritance. So start pushing people out of the way of cars.
Yeah. But don't push them into cars.
Away from. You might get all their shit.
So they take. So Jimmy gets the island. And he's like, let's take the flying newsroom, which I love. I love that. Flying. It's a fucking helicopter driving to God knows where the fuck this island is.
Wow.
I'm assuming it's somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean because Metropolis is what
I.
We've determined it's supposed to be New York.
Right, and so's Gotham though in this like weird way.
But Gotham is actually in Rhode Island.
Yes, according to Young Justice, Gotham is in Rhode Island, so I really like to think that Batman has a Boston accent and really loves dunks.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they fly to this, wherever the fuck is Bermuda.
Sure, Bermuda, sounds great. You know,
and they're like, they go into this cave, and there's all this gold in there.
And they're like, obviously statues of the native people who once lived on this island, who actually own it, and are no longer there.
And this guy's like, nobody ever owned this, it's mine.
They're like, wait, there's all these amazing statues of shit, but whatever. So, didn't they say, like, oh, this island must have sunk and, like, reemerged or something?
Yeah, basically, you know, at some point it was a part of Atlantis or some shit. So Aquaman owns this.
Right?
Aquaman should be like, stab everybody with a trident, you know, and Superman shows up and you killed Jimmy Olsen. He's like, yeah, you fucking tried to take my land.
This is my land.
People
king
die
of the
over
sea,
land.
You guys. Yeah, it's his territory.
Yeah.
But so anyway, he sees these figures and one of them is holding like a large globe.
Yeah.
And Jimmy picks it up and he's like, oh, nice, this big globe. And then he starts acting like Dick.
Yeah, basically he's acting like he's like, I hate, you know, I'm the king.
He's like, I'm the king. Fuck you, Lucy Lane. I would never date a commoner.
Yeah.
hey, Perry, fuck your newsroom.
Tears up. It makes Perry drop his cigar in shock.
Yeah.
How dare he? Because
he rips up his press pass, tells Lois that she's a second-rate reporter or whatever. I don't think he actually does that, but I'm sure he thought it. And they
get back in the flying newsroom and go to hell.
Yeah, fuck you and your flying newsroom, which is just a helicopter you call a flying newsroom because you guys are a bunch of fucks. So they, like, all get in the thing and they leave. So there's Jimmy on his island, and Superman returns from space. And lands on top of the Daily Planet building.
Well, they try to come back.
Oh, do they try to come back?
They try to come back, and that's when he somehow crafted this giant statue.
Of himself.
Painted with God knows what.
I don't know. I don't even know how he got the supplies. He said he hired workers to build, like, I would say, what, like a 30-foot tall statue of himself?
To hire workers. But how'd you get him to the island?
I don't know.
Nobody.
How did he get off the island? He told them to take the flying newsroom and shove it, so he was stranded on this island.
Oh my god. This makes no sense.
No, it makes no sense. But, like, there's, like, a 30-foot tall statue of Jimmy wearing, like, a cape. It's trimmed with, like, fur and, like, a crown. And he's holding a sign that says, warning, this is Olsen Island. Trespass at your own risk. King James Olsen the First.
Yeah.
So they come back and they try to talk some sense into him. And not working.
So he...
He has his own flag. Kind of looks like a Jughead flag, to be honest with you, from Archie.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And he basically...
J-O, jerk off.
Yeah. And he tells Lois and her sister to go shove it.
Get back on your flying newsroom and go pound sand.
Yeah, get back in your flying newsroom, you guys. And so they do.
So then he's thinking about... So they leave, and he's talking... He's thinking in his head about this kryptonite that apparently was in the sea. A Superman once thrown into the sea. How did he...
It says there's a lead box full of kryptonite that Superman once threw into the sea, and Jimmy went and found it.
Well, you know, he paid the deep-sea divers to find it.
Somehow he knew where it was, and he went, which I'm sure that is helpful if Superman's trying to get rid of kryptonite for people to know exactly where it fucking is.
Uh-huh.
So he paid some people to go retrieve it, so now he has this, like, box of kryptonite that he's going to use to kill Superman.
So Superman shows up and he's like, oh man, alien criminals, me and Supergirl, yeah, we fucked them up.
Yeah, I'm so great, I hope I killed a bunch of people too.
You totally
killed all the aliens.
Anytime on these off-site missions,
he kills everybody.
Superman's just fucking killing everybody. He's like, nobody's reporting
this. Don't believe Superman. He's not, you know, truth, justice, blah, 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 blah. He's killing motherfuckers.
Oh, he totally blew up that alien.
He absolutely did. And so I'm sure that him and Supergirl did the same thing with these. And so
they just played God and just smashed and destroyed with his eye beams.
Exactly. He's like, I've decided that whatever you're doing is wrong, so I will kill you now. Because I'm right. Good job, Superman. So he...
Off to
make some belts. So he lands, and Lois, like, runs up to him, and she's like, oh my god, I don't know what the hell Jimmy's thinking. He thinks he owns, like, is a king of an island, and he's being a dick, and he made fun of our flying newsroom, and I'm really mad at him.
He made fun of our flying newsroom.
He said it was stupid. I named it. He said it was dumb, and I'm mad at him now.
He called my sister a commoner.
I thought you were going to use another C word. So he, like, and Lois is like, and he says he doesn't want to ever see you again, Superman, and you better keep your distance. And Superman, of course, is like, Lois, Jimmy's my friend. I'm going to go hang out with him. And she's like, no, really, Superman? He's like, women.
He's really a dick.
He, like, flies off. And so he goes towards the island, and Jimmy catapults all of his kryptonite at him, which is a really good tactic to throw all of your weapon at once at your enemy.
He's got great aim, though.
He really does. And Superman's like, oh, there it is, and he flies away.
He flies away,
because
and then
he could have just flown out of distance until the kryptonite was gone, like, in the sea again, and then gone to the island, because Jimmy used all his shit, but, you know, whatever. It's fine. So he does that, and just as Superman goes away, this, what's his name?
Bolin.
Yeah, the guy who gave Jimmy the island emerges from the sea.
Captain Bolin shows up and he's like, ah, well, you know what? I was an alien. Yeah, I was one of the aliens that Superman was off killing. And I got away, so here I am.
And I had a trap for him. And you ruined it. Because you're an asshole.
See, but think though, this guy was an alien the whole time.
And I don't
like,
know.
So you mean he was on Earth generating...
The whole time.
Yeah, like he was owning islands.
I don't know. I mean, shit. Like, if you were an alien who's being hunted down by Superman, would you go to his home planet?
But he was living amongst us.
But I don't know. Was he living amongst us, or did he just show up?
I don't know. That's why I was so confused.
And, but like, this... not only that, was he just walking around, like, waiting for a truck to almost hit him so Jimmy would be in the right place at the right time? So he could give this island to Jimmy? Because it just chanced that they met.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get it. This is why it's just...
It doesn't make any sense. There's no fucking reason. And Jimmy's like, yeah, but, you know, I knew what was going on.
I like that this alien has old man, white old man hair.
Yeah, he does. He's an old man alien.
It's actually really... He kind of does look like an old man even without being an alien face.
Yeah, yeah. But Jimmy's like, oh, but don't you understand? Like, I already knew this was your plan because when I picked up that big gold globe thing, it was 3 times heavier than it should have been, and I knew it was gold kryptonite.
Because apparently Jimmy is an alien geologist that can just feel things by weight.
Yeah, and apparently he's been around enough gold kryptonite to know how much a humongous globe of it would weigh.
Ugh.
Just by touching it. And so...
And if it's that damn heavy, though, how is he able to fucking hold it?
He shouldn't be able to hold
it. If it's 3 times as heavy as gold, you can't tell me that gold is that much.
I mean, it was like a beach ball-sized gold globe.
And you're telling me
that
Jimmy...
And if that's solid gold, nobody could lift it.
Just fall on the ground like an ass.
Yeah, but no, Jimmy knew. So then he engraved on the kryptonite that he shot at Superman, don't come on the island, there's gold kryptonite.
But somehow he was able to engrave it so...
Microscopically.
And in great penmanship.
Yes, so Superman could read it with his microscopic vision. Instead, I'm glad Jimmy knew he would use his worthless power to do that. So... Superman borrows Wonder Woman's lasso and lassos the alien.
Wait, did he actually borrow her lasso?
No, but I just don't know where else he got that lasso from.
Apparently he had a giant lasso because he was up in the sky so far away, and he just throws this giant, the biggest lasso ever.
That's why I think it was Wonder Woman's.
But her lasso isn't that big. I mean, it's on her waist all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not that big. I mean, usually she only uses it like...
In my head, he borrowed her lasso. Because it makes this comic book more interesting.
I want to know how that went.
Yeah. And so...
It's like, Diana, let me borrow your lasso. I'm going to use it from a guy from space.
I'm going to kill this alien with it. And she's probably like, okay, because Wonder Woman has no problem killing people. Because she's an actual warrior. So Jimmy was like, oh, don't worry, Superman. You can come to the island now because I've thrown the gold kryptonite globe down a fucking crevice. Much like Nort did with the other kryptonite.
It's all with Nort's other shit.
We just threw it down a hole in the ground, and it's totally okay. And so Superman's like, that's good work, Jimmy. This is so wonderful. I'm glad, you know, you're the best pal ever. And then everybody forgives him because Superman explains why Jimmy is being such a dick. And everybody who's used to forgiving Superman for acting like a dick forgives Jimmy, except for... Lucy Lane, who's like, dude, you call me a commoner. Fuck you. I don't want to date you anymore. And Jimmy's like, but Superman told you why I did it. Why won't you date me? And that's how it ends. Maybe because you can't just be a dick just to be a dick, even if you're trying to help Superman.
Because they all know that Superman's a dick. They saw what he did to that alien.
Yeah. But apparently everybody's okay with it.
Well, that's Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 85, from
1965.
Good lord.
It's an old book.
Yeah, it's old, but it's a goodie.
It is. I love those old books because they make no fucking sense.
We have a few more of those, too, we'll get to, so we might
so
just roll those out. But that's it for our show this week. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We appreciate you checking us out. You can find me on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N. Also, my Tumblr, theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I am at Jen Stansfield on Tumblr and Instagram. At Instagram and Twitter. JenStansfield.tumblr.com and JenStansfield.wordpress.com.
All right, folks. Thank you to Comics on Comics, Hand Section Network, as always. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, slicing, driving friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.